So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And welcome, welcome back, everybody. Here's a little thought for you. Hopefully it'll help you get through the week. You know, when most people go to pray, they speak pious, carefully chosen, almost timid words when they talk to God Almighty. Because they figure, if God knew what they were really thinking, it would be almost sacrilegious. It would be irreverent. But God does know what you're already thinking. So when you go to pray, do God the favor of at least being honest with him. Tell him what you're really thinking. Did I ever tell you this story of St. Teresa of Avila, who was trying to get home one night in a fierce rainstorm? St. Teresa of Avila. Our own St. Therese takes her name from Teresa of Avila. She lived about 400 or 500 years ago, trying to get home one night in this fierce, fierce rainstorm. All she wants to do is get home. And so she says a prayer. God help me. Next thing you know, she slips and falls down an embankment and lands face first in the mud. And she looks up to God and she says, "What kind of a prayer answer is that?" And God says, "Well, this is how I treat all my friends." And Teresa says, "Well, if that's why you treat all your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." Now, that's honesty. That's honesty. Here's the apostles being perfectly honest in the Gospel of Mark here today. In the middle of this terrible storm, winds breaking over the boat, they're afraid they're going to go down. They turn to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing?" And that's an honest prayer. How many times have you turned to God and said those same words in your heart, "Lord, do you not care? Do you not care?" You might find it interesting to know that this story that you heard in the gospel is something that really does happen on the Sea of Galilee, and very frequently. I've been to the Sea of Galilee 3 or 4 times myself, and they tell me that the weather is so volatile that storms can break up out of nowhere, and big storms, the waves can be as much as 8 feet high, cresting white on the top, almost like surf on a beach. But these apostles, they were professional fishermen. They lived their whole life on the Sea of Galilee. They knew all about storms, and that's why if this storm had them scared half to death, you know this was one big storm. But through it all, Jesus is so calm that he's got the audacity to take a nap. Now, whenever you hear a story of Jesus and the apostles in a boat, understand that's an image of the church. That's an image of the church. Always has been. Did you know that these words for the idea of the church being like a ship, they're even reflected in church architecture. I'm sure some of you already know this, but this great big central aisle here is known as a nave, and it comes from the Latin word navis, which means boat. And sometimes they even build the entire church to look like a ship. Why is that the case? Well, it's because we're all headed somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. We are all headed somewhere. Just like St. Therese once said, "This world is thy ship and not thy home." So when you hear Jesus say to his apostles here in the gospel, "Let's get into the boat and cross to the other side," know that he's speaking to you. Get into the boat with me. Let's make our way through the waters of time to the calm shores of eternity. It's just that as we make our way, we never get smooth sailing, do we? Never get smooth sailing. Do y'all know Father Saunders? Father Saunders used to be pastor of Our Lady of Hope, next parish over. Father Saunders was my first pastor. And when I was a brand new priest, he sat me down and he said, "Remember this, in the priesthood, it never gets easy. So please don't ever think that someday there's some easy assignment waiting for you out there. It never gets easy." That's good life advice. Because so often, we look at one another's lives and we think the other guy's got it easier than we do. Don't we think that all the time? Yes or yes? Yes. You know, we think, that guy's got it easier, she's got it easier. Nobody's got an easy life, amigos. Nobody. I don't care whether you're old or young, healthy or sick, rich or poor, everybody's living through a storm. We're making our way through the stormy waters, right? And it's true not only in our lives, it's true in the news cycle. You don't need me to tell you that the world is off its nut. And it's true in the church. It's so true in the church, isn't it? Storms aplenty, what a compost heap, really. But through it all, what do we do in these storms? We turn to God in prayer, and you offer up a prayer, and you get no answer. How often does that happen to you? All the time. Sometimes your best theory to explain all of that, what is it, is that Jesus doesn't care. It's okay, don't be afraid. You can pray that. It's an honest prayer. But when you pray that prayer, please remember the message of this gospel, the story of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. Now, it says that he was asleep on a cushion. I want you to focus on the cushion for just a moment. So why on earth would the gospel include that little detail? Why is Jesus asleep on a cushion? And why do you need a cushion in a fishing boat? You ever seen these fishing boats? You know what they're like? Everybody's working the edge of the boat with their nets, and they catch the fish, and they throw the fish into a great big flopping wet mound in the middle of the boat. Where on earth are you even going to put a cushion in a boat like that, right? One place and one place only. For the guy who's got his hand on the rudder, sitting in the stern of the boat, the one who is the leader of the expedition, the captain of the ship. And the message that we want to take away from this gospel here is, I don't care how stormy it might be, and I don't care whether you think God's asleep at the wheel up there or not, he is always in charge. And if you want to find peace in a stormy life, that is the only answer. This idea that the sea was a place of treachery and evil and sin, that is an ancient idea. From the most ancient stories, always saw the sea as this mysterious, treacherous, dangerous place, you know, because your friends would go out on expeditions in the sea and they'd never come back, lost in a storm or something like that. The sea was always an image of evil and sin in the world. And the fact that God calms the storm on the sea is a sign that he is in charge even of the wildest, most treacherous storms in our life. And it reminds me of another story. You know, the story where Jesus doesn't just calm the storm on the sea, but he goes walking on the water. You know why Jesus walked on water? It wasn't just to show everybody, hey, everybody, look what I can do. Anybody who knows anything about the culture in the Middle East can tell you that the sign that shows your deepest contempt for anything is to place it under the heel of your foot. When Jesus goes walking on the water, he shows his deepest contempt for the sin, the evil, the chaos that has come into the good world God created. His contempt for it and his mastery over it. Now, when you hear that, you got a choice to make. As you make your way through this stormy life, you can focus on the storm, or you can focus on the Lord. It's up to you. You can focus on the storm, and you can lose your mind, just like the apostles did. Or you can focus on the Lord, and you can keep your peace. Probably the most important thing I can possibly teach you as your pastor is to practice the presence of God. Sin, evil, anxiety, worry, so many things in our lives afflict us. Why? Because we take our eyes off the Lord. That is where peace is found. It's great that you're here for Mass on Sunday, right? It's wonderful. This is exactly what you should be doing. I just hope you already know that 1 hour a week is nothing like anywhere near sufficient for you to live a spiritual life. I hope that every last one of you is praying every single day and for a copious amount of time. You need it. You can't keep God's presence in mind unless it becomes a habit. You've got to work at that every day. If you can, get to Mass during the week. We got Mass at 6:15. Yeah, I know it's early, but I wake up for it too. Come on down. So much peace when you receive the Lord on a daily basis. You want to learn to practice the presence of God. That's where peace is found. It's the reason why this gospel is paired with our first reading from the book of Job. Did you hear the first reading? You know the story of Job? Job was the most blessed man in all the Old Testament until suddenly, one day, he lost everything. One single day, he lost it all. He lost his health, he lost his family, he lost his property, he lost his cattle, his children died. He ended up sitting on a heap of dung covered in sores, and people walked by and said, "Hey Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Job never lost his faith. Never lost his faith. But when it was all over, Job had some choice words to say to Almighty God. Ask God some pretty pointed questions. And God never answered Job. Instead, God asked questions to Job, and that was what your first reading was all about. He said, "Hey Job, who do you think you are? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world, huh? You tell me. Job, where were you when I said to the seas, 'Thus far shall you go and no farther'?" And Job learned his lesson. It's a lesson we need to learn too. And that is, it's okay that God's ways are mysterious to us. You're not going to understand the ways of God, not even in eternity. Because God is infinite and we're finite, and God is infinite intelligence and we're pretty stupid. There's a reason why he calls us sheep. It's okay that we don't understand. What we want to do is remember the presence of God, and that means remembering that no matter what happens in this life, God Almighty, who loves me more than I can imagine, is in charge of all things. That's where peace is found, and you cannot return to that idea often enough. Just a little thought for the week. A little thought for the week. Let's give thanks to God that his presence is more powerful than our pain. Just like the apostle said, "Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This is Christ the Lord. Place your hand in his, and he will lead you safely home.